famous ghosts, demonic possession, paranormal theories, history, and much, much more. My name is Ivy, and I welcome you to join me every Wednesday as I discuss some of my favorite paranormal topics. What makes this podcast different from other paranormal podcasts? Well, I have been ghost hunting for myself for many years, so I've learned a thing or two, and this has actually made me as much of a skeptic as I am a believer. This is Spiritus. Episode 1, Some Very Social Spirits. The year is 1930 in Clydebank, Scotland, as construction began for job number 534, the very ship that would be named the Queen Mary. King George V, when speaking for the launch of the Queen Mary, stated, and I quote, "Today we come to the happy task of sending on her way the stateliest ship now in being. It has been the nation's will that she should be completed, and today we can send her forth no longer a number on the books, but a ship with a name in the world, alive with beauty, energy, and strength. May her life among the great waters spread friendship among the nations." But here's a quick fun fact about the ship's name, because some sources do claim that the ship was actually supposed to be named the Queen Victoria, as all ships made by this same company, Cunard, had names which ended with the IA suffix. But allegedly, when King George was asked for his blessing on naming this ship after, and I quote, "England's greatest queen," referencing Queen Victoria, the king reportedly misunderstood this, responding with, and I quote, "My wife will be delighted that you are naming the ship after her." Of course, his wife being Queen Mary. And what were they supposed to do? Tell him, no, not actually her, Queen Victoria. So the Queen Mary was the new name. On May 27th, 1936, the Queen Mary departed from Southampton, England to embark on her maiden voyage, complete with all of the luxuries needed for a high-class experience at sea. This included 5 dining areas and lounges, 2 cocktail bars and swimming pools, with the first class pool containing an illuminated fountain, elaborate mosaics, and a mother of pearl ceiling. There is also a grand ballroom, a squash court, and even the ship's own small hospital. The Queen Mary really set a new standard for transatlantic traveling for the wealthy and embodied the spirit of elegance, class, and style. During the Queen Mary's active years, she saw more than 2.2 million passengers, including some very notable names, such as the Duke and Duchess of Windsor and Winston Churchill. During World War II, the ship was used to transport soldiers, where it saw approximately 810,000 military personnel. It may seem odd that a luxury liner such as the Queen Mary was used during this war, but this is because of her incredibly high speed. In fact, she held the record for the fastest average speed across the Atlantic for a number of years. While she was used to transport soldiers during the war, she was painted a camouflage gray color and was stripped of all of her luxuries. And she was given a new nickname, the Gray Ghost, because of her color and the ship's stealth and speed. Of course, as you can guess with the subject matter of this podcast, the name Gray Ghost goes on to have a whole other meaning. But I'll get to that later. Post-World War II, there was a 10-month period where the Queen Mary was restored to her stately glory, and on July 21st, 1947, she resumed her regular passenger services for the next 2 decades until her final cruise on October 31st, 1967. It's also quite fitting that this happened on Halloween. The following December 9th, she docked along the coast of Long Beach, California, where she has remained as a popular tourist attraction. Not just for her beauty and history, however, because this ship is also quite famous for the deaths which occurred on board, and what seemed to follow. One legendary statement made by a well-known English psychic, Lady Mabel Fortescue Harrison, predicted that, and I quote, "The Queen Mary will know her greatest fame and popularity when she never sails another mile or carries another fare-paying passenger." This prediction came to fruition, considering that the ship, during her active years, as I mentioned earlier, had about 2.2 million passengers. But since sitting at Long Beach, she's had an estimated 50 million visitors. And when you have this high volume of people going to a location, of course, over time, accidents and deaths will occur. In the ship's logs, there have been a reported 55 deaths on board, and these can be viewed on a plaque on board the ship which memorializes those who have passed away here. I'll note that death records and record keeping in general wasn't always ideal, so it very well could be more than 55. But of these 55 deaths that we know of, 16 were crew members over time, and at least 41 had been passengers who took their last breath while aboard the Queen Mary. Most of these were natural causes, such as illness or old age. Even today, on modern-day cruise ships, there are deaths that occur on board, and I've read that there are places on these ships meant to store these bodies in cold storage facilities until they dock on land, because unfortunately, this is just a part of life. Other deaths that occurred on board were accidents, such as people falling overboard and drowning, or one young crewman who was crushed by one of the ship's mechanical doors. A lesser-known tragic event relating to the Queen Mary was her escort ship, which sunk, killing 239 passengers. And with so much death both on the ship and surrounding it, there have of course been rumors of a haunting. The Queen Mary is often regarded as being one of the top 10 most haunted places, not just in the US, but according to Time magazine, in the entire world. This is largely because of the alleged 100 plus resident spirits that some paranormal enthusiasts believe are still aboard the Queen Mary. Common paranormal activity here includes severe temperature changes, usually being cold spots, which many believe to indicate the presence of a spirit. People also report knocking sounds, which is a type of activity born of the spiritualist boom in the late 1800s to early 1900s. Both staff and visitors alike also report flickering lights, doors slamming on their own, and phantom screams. Perhaps from some of those unfortunate accidents and deaths on board. Although I will note that some of this can be attributed to faulty wiring, old door hinges with the ship's sway because she does sit on water, and let's remember that she is docked at Long Beach in a fairly busy area. Screams heard while inside could be coming from people outside. Living people, of course, not the dead. I do live by the idea that you should have a skeptic's mind and believer's heart, but don't let any debunking of some common activity here keep you from the other more unexplainable occurrences on board, because I'm just getting started. the first-class swimming pool, which didn't pass new California codes and is now abandoned, still sees quite the buzz of paranormal happenings. Sightings here have included a ghostly woman in a tennis skirt, another woman in a wedding dress who is accompanied by a little boy in a suit. Unexplainable mists have also been seen, although in photography, especially photography and videos that are using a flash or a light, sometimes these mists are just moisture in the air, usually our own breath. But something else that is seen here is the sight of a little girl in a blue and white dress. This luxurious pool may sit abandoned for us, but the ghosts here still seem to be enjoying their first-class amenities. Another resident spirit here has been dubbed Little Jackie, and she has been seen and heard around the second-class pool, which is now the Royal Theater, where she supposedly drowned at age 6. Some visitors have also reported hearing laughing and splashing sounds and wet footprints on the ground, despite there being no water. It is also believed that Little Jackie has another ghost friend, that of a little girl named Sarah, who they believe died in the same pool in 1949. And good news for ghost hunters, because Jackie is especially known to enjoy interacting with the living. So maybe don't go in this area of the ship if the presence of the spirit of a little girl frightens you. In the first class lounge, the apparition of a woman dancing in a white dress has also been spotted, although no one has been able to identify who she might be. The ship houses multiple boiler rooms, and it is in boiler room number 4 where multiple visitors have witnessed a very little girl who is sometimes sucking her thumb and carrying a doll with her. You can imagine the panic of seeing an unattended child, only for them to vanish. But this little girl isn't the only one haunting the boiler room, or rooms, because again, there is more than one. One other spirit sighting is that of a spirit they call John Henry. There are other ghosts here named John, so I'll be calling him Henry. Allegedly, Henry worked and died in a boiler room where his remains were found, with ghost hunters claiming to see Harry's shadowy figure lurking between the boiler room and the green room. Henry is known to respond to questions asked to him by visitors and ghost hunters and staff alike, especially when asked questions about beer. Which just goes to show that we do still carry our same personalities and interests with us into the afterlife. Remember when I mentioned earlier that a crewmate was killed by a mechanical door? Well, many believe that his spirit has also stayed here. This was a documented death, and his name is John Petter. But he has been given the very insensitive nickname of Half Hatch Harry, which implies that his body was cut into two, but this wasn't really the case. When the doors closed on him, his arms were pinned to his sides as the pressure resulted in crushing injuries to his arms, chest, and pelvis. He was suffering and bleeding from the nose, and although he was freed and taken to the hospital ward, it was too late. In his final moments, he was given morphine for the pain, so at least his final breath was in medically induced rest. One eerie detail is that the door which crushed him was door number 13, with 13, of course, being associated with bad luck. John was only 18 years old at the time of his death, and him and other crewmates were said to have been playing a game which seemingly had to do with trying to pass through the closing door, or maybe try to endure the pressure, I'm not sure, but what I do know is that his death is truly one of the many heartbreaking stories aboard the Queen Mary. It's easy to get wrapped up in the fun and excitement of a haunted location like this, but these stories remind us that these ghosts and spirits became ghosts and spirits because they obviously died, and very often these deaths were very, very tragic. Today, both staff and visitors have reported seeing John's spirit around this area for mechanical door number 13. Most often, he is seen in blue overalls with grease stains from his hard day's work. Some even report to hear him whistling and coming at them from behind. John's spirit is even said to ask guests if they have seen his wrench. Maybe he is looking for a tool, or maybe his teenage spirit is just as playful in the afterlife as it was during his life. If you thought Half Hatch Harry was a bad enough name to bestow upon a spirit, the next one I want to share is so lovingly called Grumpy, or Grumpy the Growling Ghost. And this spirit is heard growling at visitors and is said to lurk in a room under the stairs near the first class swimming pool. And apparently, Grumpy and John Henry are pals who sometimes hang out together in the boiler room. And it is this very idea that some of these spirits are showing this kind of free will and intelligence, that they are seeking each other and exploring other areas of the ship, which does make me feel inclined to lean more towards the term spirit for them as opposed to ghost. Generally, the term ghost is used more for a type of imprint of us. They are not really intelligent, they're just kind of a presence on replay. Whereas a spirit is us, our thoughts, our minds and feelings, our energy, our soul, or whatever terminology you prefer. And this is what makes a spirit much more intelligent and interactive than a ghost. Going back to the ship's more gruesome past is the bloody legend of a young woman named Dana. Legend states that her and her family were murdered in room B-474, with the killer having strangled Dana's little sister and mother on the bed, and then shot Dana in the bathroom. It is believed that Dana's spirit also lurks aboard the ship, and her spirit can also be found hanging out with the spirits of little Jackie and Sarah at the second class pool area. But she also sometimes joins Grumpy and Henry in the boiler room. Again, the spirits here seem to really enjoy wandering around the ship and building these relationships with each other. There is another unknown apparition who has been spotted in one of the ship's lounges, called the Miritania, I hope I pronounced that right, where staff who were preparing it for a reception saw a ghostly figure who faded into thin air. The Mayfair room has also had its fair share of odd encounters. This room used to be the ship's beauty salon, but today it is used for the staff who work for the ship's onboard hotel. Back in 2001, an accountant arrived at work bright and early at 5:30 a.m. and felt that something was off. She experienced unusually cold temperatures in her office and felt someone brush up against the back of her chair. And when she looked, no one was there. Moments after, she looked up and saw the transparent figure of a ghost wearing white who walked across the room and through the door. This employee fled, as many would, and awaited for the arrival of other staff before going back into the office. There is also a captain who some believe never left the ship. Captain John Treasure Jones, a very epic name, who was the last captain of the Queen Mary while she was active, and he captained her final voyage as well. He died in 1993 at age 87, not on board the ship, but some believe that his spirit visits the Queen Mary or maybe just permanently resides there. It is reported that he had an affinity for cigars, with some visitors and staff smelling cigar smoke in the captain's quarters. Although many believe this to be the sign of his spirit presence, this smell is likely due to the sticky nature of such smells, which seep over time into soft materials like wood and fabric, which are then released with fluctuations in temperature or humidity when the wood and fabric can expand. Some believe it to still be paranormal in nature, but I would personally err on the side of skepticism with claims of cigarette or cigar smells. But there's much more debunking which can be done on board for the ship's many paranormal claims. It is a fact that when you have hauntings, you will have some debunking, which is the act of disproving something. Because more often than not, what a lot of people perceive as paranormal is just normal. For example, when the cast of Ghost Hunters investigated the Queen Mary for Season 2, Episode 11, they were able to use their knowledge with plumbing to locate piping and other mechanical things on board responsible for some of the strange noises heard by staff and visitors. Of course, they did experience other odd and more unexplainable things, so it is an episode I highly recommend checking out. Countless visitors who have taken photos aboard the Queen Mary will also report ghostly orbs that they have captured on camera. Earlier, I mentioned that people sometimes see mists, and I explained that very often this is just the moisture in our breath being illuminated by the camera's flash, and the same goes for orbs, which are usually dust that is airborne and being illuminated by the camera's flash. So although some paranormal claims on board do have natural explanations, we cannot ignore the fact that many people's experiences cannot be so easily explained away. Let's end with some fun facts about the Queen Mary. Did you know that Disney used to own this ship? Yes, that is correct. Disney had ownership of this very famous haunted ship. It started back in 1988 when Disney bought the Rather Corporation, who owned the Queen Mary, meaning that Disney acquired the lease. And Disney actually did something quite controversial during their ownership, and this is some very, very niche drama, because they thought that the orange color of the ship's smokestacks clashed and didn't look aesthetically pleasing. So they painted them International Signal red, and people were furious. One Long Beach resident declared that it was disloyal, stating, and I quote, "One day I drove by and they were a different color, and everybody I asked looked at them and said, I don't think so, but I'd been looking at them for 17 years, and I knew right away, and I said, wrong, wrong color, then I called up and made a stink." Others made a comparison that painting the smokestacks red would be like painting purple stripes on the American flag, referring to it as an utmost disgrace. And if you are wondering why people were so upset over this simple change, it wasn't because they were just being picky and preferred the orange over red for no real reason. It's the fact that the Queen Mary is the last three-stack ocean liner left. Three-stack meaning that she has three smokestacks. She is the last one left in the world, making it a really big deal not just to locals, but also to people with a particular interest in maritime history and the preservation and historical accuracy of a ship like the Queen Mary. The Queen Mary today, which is in ownership of Long Beach, is on the precipice of being lost to time. The ship is very expensive to maintain as it sits in the water, and during the 2020 pandemic, like many businesses, the Queen Mary had to close. It remained closed to the public and was only available for private tours, But in April of 2023, the doors opened to the public once more. On their website, queenmary.com, you can find information on the different tours available, the exhibitions you can see on the ship's history, and you can even book your wedding to be on board the Queen Mary. Just don't mind the extra ghostly guests. If you are brave enough, you can also stay the night on the Queen Mary, as part of it acts as a hotel. You could even request one of the ship's famously haunted rooms. This includes stateroom B340, where in 1948, a British passenger, Walter J. Adamson, died in that very same room from unknown circumstances that have been lost to time. Years later, in 1966, a woman staying in B340 was awoken when her bed covers were pulled off and a man stood at the foot of her bed. She screamed and alerted the steward, but the man simply vanished. In a situation like this, it's always really important to react and think as if this was a real person, because ghosts and spirits can't actually hurt you, but real people can, and I often say that the living are much more dangerous than the dead. Of course, this room and another room I mentioned earlier, room B474 with the alleged family murder, these aren't the only haunted rooms on board. With the very bold claim that there is 100 plus ghosts and or spirits present, I couldn't even begin to cover them all, and I'd wager that there's pretty good odds that you'll encounter one no matter which room you stay in. So if you find yourself visiting or even booking a stay on the Queen Mary, remember to just relax, grab a bite, take in the history, and maybe you'll see a spirit or two on this famous ocean liner, and you can brag to your friends and family that you just visited one of the top 10 most haunted places in the world. A quick disclaimer. I use words like alleged a lot because paranormal encounters can be really difficult to prove, and we have to remember that, of course, sometimes people lie. And a lot of these spirits on board the Queen Mary don't exactly have provable histories and are not documented deaths on board. Like I said, sometimes record keeping isn't ideal, so just because there's not records, that doesn't mean that something didn't happen. But take these stories with a grain of salt. Enjoy them for the intriguing stories of the paranormal that they are, but always have a little healthy dose of skepticism. All sources used for my research in this episode will be linked below in the show notes if you want to learn more. I am no expert, but the people behind many of my sources are, so be sure to check them out. You can keep up with the podcast on Instagram at @spiritospodcast for photos, sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, and other paranormal goodness. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a rating or review if possible to support the podcast and to help others find Spiritus. Spiritus is researched, hosted, edited, and produced by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is from Pixabay.